I just want to thank God, the Lord Jesus Christ, that for the past 21 days we've been praying and fasting. And will you believe that 21 days have come so quickly? It's incredible. Maybe some of you didn't notice. but it's been, okay, thank you. 21 days we've been fasting and praying. We wanted to see God's face. And we started by saying that we need to build intimacy with this God. We've got to know God as our Father. It's not just being theoretical. It's not just being, a nice God out there. We want to have an experience with God. And having an experience with God, you learn to hear his voice, and God speaks to you. And God has been speaking. God has been speaking in a way that I personally have surprised me. I haven't heard God speak that way before for a long time. And it's just incredible. Some of the things that God's been revealing, and we thank God for what he's doing in your lives as well. Today, obviously, we have an opportunity to have communion as a thanksgiving and to worship God. to finish our fast. I believe most of you would have finished yesterday. But today, I'm going to talk on the subject, putting God first. Putting God first. Remember, 3 weeks ago, we talked about having intimacy with God. Make God a priority. And now we say putting God first. When I was meditating about this about a month ago, I thought, oh, you preach a similar message at Hope, or you taught at Hope about during the autumn, and God moved powerfully. Why don't you come and teach the church the same thing? But the more I look at the note, the more I see that God wants to bring fresh revelation. So today I pray that your heart will be open to receive something from God. Amen. And when you receive it, say, God, give it to me and let me act on it. So I just begin by saying that my name is Pastor Gideon Nash. I'm speaking from South Street Baptist Church in Greenwich. For those of you online, I say God bless you. You're most welcome to join us today. God richly bless you. Greenwich is where God is working. And this church is where God's supernatural power is being demonstrated. So we thank God for that. See, I'll begin by saying that the story of God and his people, the Israelites, is about relationship. This relationship, the people around them, around the Israelite, around the people of God, did not understand. And this relationship produced a story of miraculous provision. This relationship between God and his people produced protection. It produced deliverance and the demonstration of the supernatural power of God. Having a relationship with God and being a God's people, these things should happen. There should be miraculous provision. There should be protection. There should be deliverance. And there should be demonstration of the supernatural power of God. This is what scripture tells us. And this is what, when you walk through the people, at the story of the people of Israel, you saw how God miraculously provided for them. We saw how God provided manna for them, food for them to eat when there was none. They had left Egypt, millions of them, and there was no food. They had no farming. There was no grocery shop. There was nothing. There was no online, delivery services. There was nothing, but God provided for them. Remember, they were on their journey on the wilderness for 40 years, and God provided for them. They did not have any clothes shop or garment factory on the wilderness, and God clothed them. They had shoes on. The Bible tells us clearly that their shoes did not wear out. Really? Their shoes did not wear out. So when we read these things, they are not theory to us no more. There's got to be realities. Their shoes did not wear off. When they were thirsty and they wanted water, and the water was hard and salty, God made sure that the water was now good for them to drink. God gave them fresh water, more than a bottled water could provide. God protected these people when they could not even fight for themselves or defend for themselves. God fought for them. God, the Bible said, I carried you like eagle, carrying a chick on its wings. That is what God did for the people of Israel, based on the relationship, based on the fact that they were God's people, based on the fact that they knew God. And these things are supernatural provisions of miracles, supernatural provisions of protection, supernatural provisions of deliverance and demonstration of that power. Amen? Amen. That is what God did. And the Bible says that, look, I'll give you cities that you did not build. The people really indeed reached their purpose, the promised land, eventually. Because he who has promised is faithful. He who has promised is faithful. When God promises children that this is what I will do, and we will know that in the scripture, he is faithful and he will do it. Amen. Amen. God gave them exactly what he said 40 years prior, that I will take you to a good and spacious land. Why? Because they were then in Goshen, about 90 square meters or 90 square miles of land, and there were millions of them. They were crowded in that place, and yet God said, you know what? I am going to take you into a good and spacious land. So God knew that they needed a good and spacious land, isn't it? He didn't want them to live in a ghetto anymore. But even in that place, what was God doing? He was protecting them. The people prospered in Goshen. We've done this. We've preached so many of them. Just go onto our website, audio version or whatever it is, and type Goshen, and you see about three stories there. God protected them because they were crowded. For 400 years, they were in that place. But God said, I'll take you to good and spacious land. So if God says that I will do what I will do, let's believe him. For that reason, let us put God first in everything. Amen. You see, the same God, what he did for the Israelites, the same God is doing the same things for anyone who becomes his child through Jesus Christ. Amen. You only have these things that we are talking about when you become a child of God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You see, God is doing the same things. And he's going to do that because of the work that Jesus Christ did on the cross for us, to save sinners from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. Because God needs to move you away to become his, to come under his protection. For instance, in this country, if you travel somewhere else and there's a problem in that country, and there's a problem, you go to the British embassy, or the British government will be looking for you to rescue you. Do you know that for a fact? That's absolutely true. They'll be looking to rescue you. Of course, there are other people that they could rescue, but they will rescue you first because you're a British citizen. Isn't that true? So if this is the truth, then God will rescue you because you belong to him. You bear his name. You are a child of God. You are a Christian. You bear the blood of Jesus Christ as a mark on you. And that is your privilege, to worship this God. For that reason, we'll put him first in all things. The same God is doing miracles. The same God is bringing protection. The same God is bringing deliverance. The same God is bringing provision for those who put him first. And this is how he taught Moses to show his people how to do it. Amen? Shall we turn to Exodus chapter 23, verse 19? This is what God said. The first of the first fruit of your land you shall bring into the house of the Lord your God. You shall not boil a young goat in the mother's milk. I'm thinking, oh God, what does that mean? But that is a good word. It's a good thing. And as I'm meditating, I got some revelation that makes sense. I'm thinking, wow, God, I now understand this idiom. It's just like saying, there's nothing to write home about, right? But this one, there's something to write home about. He has said, in the Old Testament, the first fruit represented the first of what the people of Israel will collect during their harvest time. In the modern world, the first fruits are equivalent to the first of our financial income of the year. See, once upon a time, I could not preach this message. You know why? Because I was scared. And the reason why I was scared is that I lacked understanding and revelation of God's word. And sometimes the reason why we don't take the word of God because we're scared, or sometimes because we really don't want to obey it, so we don't want to preach it. But here we want to say this. This could be your first wage, your first salary, or your bonus, your raise, your increase, your dividend, etc. God must have promoted you, and you got a raise. And I thank God in this church, people have got that revelation, and they're doing exactly what the Bible says. Because God has chosen to favor them because they are children of God and they know the word of God. Amen? And each time they do that, God moves them another level. Hallelujah. What can I say? In short, it can be any first income that you receive. The important thing is to separate the first and the best in order to give it to God. Amen? The purpose of this, the purpose of giving the first fruit is to honor God and put him first. Please write this down in case you forget. The purpose of giving the first fruit is to honor God and to put him first. You see, there's power in doing this. The power of the first fruit is multiplication. Hear it again. The power of the first fruit is multiplication. It is expansion. And it's total provision. God told his people to do this for a reason. He took them from a land where they were already prospered, but they were crowded. He took them from a land where they were in slavery, and yet God protected them. He took them from a land that they were working, and working hard, and not getting much for themselves. And God says, I want you to do this. It may not make sense to them at the time, but they had to obey God. The purpose of this is to honor God and to put him first. And the power of the first fruit is multiplication, expansion, and total provision. God said, look, I will multiply you. I'll multiply what you have. I will multiply the remainder. I am going to expand what you have given. And I am going to totally provide for your needs according to your riches through Christ Jesus. Amen. Now, let us pull back our verse there again and let's read it again in case we want to remind ourselves. Let the first of the first fruits of your land, you shall bring it into the house of the Lord your God. Hear it again. The house of the Lord your God. You shall not boil a young goat in its mother's milk. Now, the house of the Lord your God is where the presence of God is. It's the presence of God in this church. Hallelujah. Bring it to the house of the Lord your God. It's nowhere else than where you receive your spiritual nourishment. Amen. Amen. So if this is where you receive your spiritual nourishment, God is saying that the first of your first fruit should come into the house of God. Now let's educate ourselves a little bit by looking at Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 5 to 6. That's a revelation that I didn't even know that was in the Bible about 7 or 8 years ago that I read, and I'm thinking, oh my God, where have I been? It said, but you shall seek the place where the Lord your God chooses. Out of all your tribes to put his name for his dwelling place, and there you shall go. That means it's not even cool to be a Christian and stay at home. You hear that? It is not even appropriate. It's not even right. It's just not biblical. To say, oh, I'm a Christian, but I don't go to church. When I hear that, I know that they're unbelievers to start with. So Christians should choose to go where God is or where God has appointed. Because in the Old Testament, God appointed a tabernacle. Then they brought it into the temple because they thought that tabernacle is not even cool enough for God. So they built a temple. And then so many years after, they congregated in the synagogue. And during the time of the apostles, the Holy Spirit came down and they congregated at home and they still went to the synagogue. And in our modern dispensation, we meet in the sanctuary like we are doing. Some call it temple, some call it tabernacle, whatever it is, church, chapel. But you shall seek the place where the Lord your God chooses out of all the tribes to put his name for his dwelling place, and there you shall go. Move on for me, please. Here you shall take what your burnt offerings, your sacrifice that you give to say, God, you know what? I'm a sinner. But for your grace towards me, I'm coming to you. I say, God, I'm sorry. This is my sacrifice. For you forgiving me and giving me a new chance. You shall bring your sacrifices, things that you voluntarily bring before God in appreciation, in thanksgiving to our God. Bring your tithe, the tenth of the income. The government's provision is 20% or 40% or sometimes 45%. I mean, UK government. God's provision hasn't changed. Your heave offerings. That means your special offerings. You've had your birthday, you want to give an offering to God. You've married and you want to give an offering to God. God has healed you of some sickness. You want to give offering to God. Your marriage has been reconciled. God wants to give an offering to God. You got a child and you want to thank God for it. Your special offerings. You got a new job. You just want to thank God for it. You got promotion. You want to thank God for it. We have to live a life of thanksgiving. That is what God teaches us. And when we do what God says we do, we will see the change in our lives because God cannot lie. Hallelujah. Let me read on. Your heave offerings of your hand, your vowed offerings, the things that you've pledged that, oh God, if only, just like Jacob, if only you grant me protection, if only you protect me and go with me, if only you provide for me, if only in my journey you bring me back, you give me safe passage and bring me back into my father's land, for all that you give me, I'll just thank you for it. And we know that from Genesis chapter 28, verse 22. You people are reading Genesis in your daily devotion, so you should know this. I've never understood the scripture or read so much of the Old Testament, especially Genesis, and understood it and enjoyed it like I'm doing right now. I'm thinking, God, I'm a walk through the Bible instructor. And I thought I knew all about this book. How come things are now coming up again that I didn't seem to have seen it? It's just incredible what God is doing when you open your heart, when you build that intimacy, when you get closer to God, when you hear God, when you allow His Spirit to speak to you, when you say, God, I'm available, He's able to do things like that and more. Last week I was saying the closer we get to God, the power we get. Amen. So your heave offerings, your vowed offering, the things that you say, oh God, if you give me this job, I will do this. Oh God, if you buy me this car, I will do this. Oh God, if you pay my mortgage, I will do this. Oh God, if you give me that child, if you give me that husband, if you give me that wife, if you do this, if you do this, if you do this, if you let me pass my exams, I will do this. Your vows. Your free will offerings. Sometimes even nothing has happened, but you just say, you know what? This church, I say, we don't do collection. Because collection takes your money and you don't get nothing back. We do offering. That is what the Bible teaches. Offering, because when you give an offering, then God, according to His word, He says, I'll give it back to you. And I'll open the heavens and bless you. And the firstborn of your herds and your flocks. We're talking about first fruit there. Amen. So I've taken time to let you see this scripture because the people who walk with God had to trust Him and put Him first with the produce and the toils of their hands. And our contest today, we also have to put God first in financial matters. Amen? Why? Because God is our source. God is our source. I'm confident to say that God is my source. Sometimes the way God provides for me, it surprises me. I'm praying. And sometimes I have a need, financial need. I haven't even prayed about it. I'm thinking, okay, how will I do this? How will I do that? How will I do that? Instead of saying, how, I say, God, you are my source. Amen. And somehow, that declaration, someone for me said, Pastor Gideon, I've transferred this into your bank account. I'm thinking, what? God really do that? Yes. Sometimes I'll be there and someone just give me an envelope. I'm thinking, God, will you really do that? I don't sit down thinking, oh, God, someone is going to give me this. Someone. Because if you look to people, people will disappoint you. God is your source. So I'm a living example of what I preach. What I do not live, I will not preach to you. Otherwise, I become a hypocrite. Amen. So God is our source. That's why we have to put him first in financial matters. God asked the people of Israel to bring the first fruit to the house of the Lord, their God, to show that the Lord is their source. And in so doing, they in turn will receive the blessings that is due, according to the word of God. Similarly, you'll be thinking, oh, why are you talking only about the Old Testament? Let's come to the New Testament. Similarly, Jesus Christ in the Sermon on the Mount alluded to what Moses, the prophet of God, the pastor, the leader of the people of Israel, he told and taught the people several years ago and several years prior that we should bring the first to God, for he is our source. Shall we read Matthew chapter 6, verse 31 to 36, 33? Jesus said this in the Sermon on the Mount. He said, therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? Hear it again. What shall we put it back. Be with me. What shall we? We shouldn't worry about what we shall eat, what we shall drink, or what we shall wear. Isn't that what happened in on the wilderness? At that time for 40 years, there was no shops. There were no factories. There was nothing. There was no purification water or bottled water, nothing. Right? And what were they thinking? What will we eat, oh God? What will we wear, oh God? What will we drink, oh God? And did not God provide for them in every situation? This God did. So I'm speaking from my understanding, my reality of how our God works. It's taking me so many years to come this far. And I thank God for Jesus. Therefore, do not worry saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? Move on for me, please. For after all these things, the Gentiles seek. The Gentiles are people who were not Christians, or who were outside the commonwealth of Israel, who were not God's people. So today, so the people who have no God, the God that we have through Jesus Christ, people who don't have God, they seek after what shall we eat, what shall we drink, what shall we wear. Those are priority for them. But for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. Did God know many years ago in the wilderness that they needed all those things? He knew that. When they cried unto him and they even decided what they want, God provided. When we're eating manna, they say we're fed up with manna, we want some meat. And God gave them meat. Let me not digress. For your Father knows all these things. Move on for me, please. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you. I didn't say that. Jesus Christ said that, didn't I? Kingdom realities include God's provision for his children. Hear it again. Kingdom realities includes God's provision for his children. Therefore, when we seek God and put him first, it is the right thing to do. And that puts us in right standing before God. That's what righteousness is about. Putting you in right standing before God. Doing what is right before God. It's the right thing. Every act of righteousness in obedience to God's word brings a corresponding blessing. Amen? It brings a corresponding blessing from God. So what we eat, what we drink, and what we put on in God's hands. Well, let me write. I try to understand my own writing. What we drink and what we put on is in God's hands. And he says, If we will trust him and walk by faith towards him, he will do what he says he will. For God cannot lie. Amen? See, the first fruit is an act of faith. It's an act of faith. When you give your first fruit, God sees that as a step of faith. Let's read that in James chapter 2, verse 17 to 18. For all the readings are coming from the New King James Version of the Bible. But you can check in other versions as well. It says, that's also faith by itself. If it does not have works, it's dead. If you say you have faith and you have no works, it's dead. Move on for me, please. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. And look at what the apostle is saying. Now show me. He was challenging people. That's why sometimes we have to challenge people. Show me your faith without your works. And I will show you my faith by my works. Amen. Show me your faith without works. If you say you have faith, let's see your works. Amen. Some misinterpret it differently. But let's stick with what God is revealing right now. You see, in the natural, we all need money, don't we? Therefore, when we give our first fruit, we show that we trust God more than the money. We are saying, God, we trust you more than the money. It will take a step of faith for you to do that. But what I'm talking about is not theory. I've seen people in this church, not once, not twice, not three times, many times. And these are people who earn serious money. And they get their wage. And they said, this is my first fruit to the Lord. I didn't even ask them. At that time, I've never even started preaching about it. The first time I preached about first fruit was last autumn. And it was very emotional and holy for me. I'm thinking, oh God, at long last, I've been able to gather the courage to preach your word. And since then, people, they said, this is my bonus. This is my increase. This is my first wage. This. And they just give it to the house of God. And I'm thinking, God, I'm an unbeliever. Forgive me. Sometimes I say that. I say, God, forgive me for being an unbeliever all this while. Because it overwhelms me. And I'm extremely grateful to God for this. A finance officer says, she doesn't actually come to this church, which is a good thing in some sense. But she's a Christian. I said, you guys, you work miracles in your church. We do, of course, because we believe in the God of miracles. You see, the Bible teaches us that to show our faith in God, we must act on it. For faith without works is dead. That is what we are saying. Now let's go to James chapter 2, verse 21 and 22, and then verse 25 and 26. You see, the Apostle James, speaking these words, challenging the believers around, he took them back to the Old Testament. Because the Old Testament speaks and the New Testament says amen. The Bible is God's word. Old and new are God's word. Now, James chapter 2, verse 21, 22, and then 25 to 26, that is what it says. Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he offered Isaac, his son, on the altar? He had only one son. He had Ishmael, of course, but God said, look, the son of the promise is Isaac. At that time, Ishmael was not even in the house. Because Ishmael had to leave the house when Isaac was barely a year old. He had to leave with the mother. So the only son in the house was Isaac. And he was about 8 years. Probably 10. So his only son. And God said, offer your son to me. You come to Hebrews. And 11, and God gives a revelation there that, you know what? Abraham was able to do that because he believed that he who has given him the promise of a son, he's also able to raise him up. He who said, give me your only son as a sacrifice. Sacrifice means the child will be killed. He said, he knew, he believed. It must have been very, very painful, challenging, emotional. You mean my only son? I will struggle to do that. But then he said, God, because I believe you are faithful. And when Isaac, in Genesis chapter 22, kept asking from verse 8 onwards, but Father, this is the wood, this is the paraffin, but where is the lamb? I've watched you offer sacrifice to God many times, so I know what it is. As an 8-year-old, that's why we have to teach our children our ways. So he knew, said, but this is the wood, this is the paraffin, where is the lamb? And Abraham said, God will provide his own lamb. So the Apostle James was pointing to the fact that, look, this is what Abraham did. Because he trusted and believed God, and that was faith. And because the Bible said, because he believed God and trusted God, it was counted to him as righteousness. You read that from Genesis chapter 17. I'm assuming you are reading the daily devotions, right? So when I say these things, you can back it up. Now, let's move on, please, for me. Do you see that faith was working together with the works? So he said he believed God, but his faith, his works, was backing up what he believed. That means he did what the word of God says. And by works, faith was made perfect. So that means by backing your faith with works, that means your faith becomes stronger in the God that you said you believe in. Amen? If you say you believe in God and God says do this, and you do it, you become stronger in your faith and trust in God. A lot of things we've done in the past 3 years, because we've done them by faith. In the past, we did a lot of amazing things in this church. And I'm sure we're doing it by some faith. But today, God is backing it up, and we are backing it up with works, realities. Amen. Do you see that faith was working together with his works? And by works, faith was made perfect. Move on, please. That means faith becomes complete. Your faith becomes complete. Likewise, was not Rahab the harlot? You remember that? When you go to Joshua, Rahab the harlot, was she also not justified? As if she was not that sin. Was she not accepted? Was she not co-opted into the household of God by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? At a time when the people of Israel were moving under the leadership of Joshua, when they got to Jericho, you see, and Joshua sent some spies to go and spy the land, just like, 40 years prior he went to do with Caleb and the 10 other people whose name were not mentioned. Now he sent some spies, and when they went, the people of Jericho got to know that they were around. And Rahab, if you read it from Joshua chapter 4, you see that this woman said, look, told the spies, by the time that we heard you people were coming, everybody had no strength in them. We were terrified. We were scared because we have heard of the miracles. We have heard how God parted the Red Sea and you guys walked through. We have heard about how God provided manna for you. We have heard about how God made sure that your clothes did not wear out. We have heard about how your shoes did not wear out. We've heard about how God provided water from a rock for you. We've heard about how God even purified the water for you. We've heard. They were thinking about even when other people were trying to beat them up on the way, and these people had never learned to fight. He said, we heard that you were able to defeat many kings and many kingdoms along the way. So even though their cities were fortified, they were scared. He said, there was no strength left in us. And for that reason, I want to believe your God, and I want to hide you. And she hid the spies in the roof. And then when they came, said, okay, hey, you know what? They're not here. They went that way. Send them totally the opposite way. And after they went, she sent them the other way. How did she do that? She is an unbeliever. She's a sinner. Somebody that you and me would judge, isn't it? You and me don't even want to sit closer to her. But she believed in God. So today, if you hear and you think that you are so messed up, I just want you to know that if you align yourself with God and his people, God will extend his hand of grace to you. Today, God is extending his hand of grace to you. Wherever you are, online, God is extending his hand of grace to you. Don't sit and be a Rahab and ask God. So, let me come back to the subject of what I'm preaching about. Likewise, was not Rahab, the harlot, also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way. One more verse. For as the body without the spirit is dead, if your spirit is out of you, if your breath is out of you, you're dead, right? That's what he's saying. And we know in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, the Bible said a man literally breathed into human, and the human become a living expression of God or became a human being. God breathed into man. So when your breath is held up, then you are dead. So faith without works is dead. So you see the analogy? So simple. So if you have faith and have no works, as if someone who says, I'm alive, yet there's no spirit in him or breath in her. So who are you deceiving? This is the challenge. These are the words that we need to let people understand. Sometimes people feel uncomfortable about it, but that is okay. I used to feel that way. I've been to places that people have preached, and I felt so uncomfortable. When I left, I felt like I could throw myself out of over a cliff or something. Truth, you just feel that way. Let's move on. So the first fruit proved that God is first in our life. Many people claim that God comes first in their lives, but their lives and finances don't prove that God's come first. Hey, God is first, but not my pocket, not my wallet. But if you put this God to test and see, remember, naked you came and naked you will go. We all need money in this world. If we say we don't need money, we are liars. We all need money. But trust God with what you have. And I'm extremely grateful that I have been in a church, South Street Baptist Church, in a dispensation like this, that people just trust God. I don't come and stand here and preach about money. Bring your money now and you get £1,000 tomorrow. I never do that because that is motivational language and you are trying to manipulate the people. Let's preach the gospel. Amen. You see, God deserves our honor. I would like to finish this message, so please bear with me. God deserves our honor. Honoring someone means holding him or her in high esteem. We need to hold God in high esteem. That's why God told them to do that. Putting that person first and considering him or her of great value. That is honor. When we honor God, we are telling him that we value him. So honor is a culture in the kingdom of God, meaning it is a way of life. It's a principle in the kingdom of God. Holding God of great value, considering him, we are esteeming him. That is what honor means. And God the Father expects his children to honor him. In honoring God, you declare him as your source of life. Amen. When you know who God is, you'll honor him. If you don't know who God is, you won't honor him. I'm challenging myself and I'm challenging you as well. I'm provoking myself and provoking you as well. But how do I know what I'm just saying? Let's go to the Bible again. Malachi 1:6. It says, a son honors his father. Hold him in high esteem, respect, revere him. And a servant his master. If then I am your father, press on for me. Where is my honor? If I am your master, where is my reverence? This is what God is saying. You see, but who was God saying this to? He was saying it to the people of God. They had been in exile for 70 years. And for 490 years, they disobeyed the word of God. And every 7 years, they should bring a special sacrifice to God. They did not do that for 490 years. So for every 7 years that they disobeyed God, they went into exile for 1 year. So 490 years, you divide it by seven, that they should have done it, 70 years they went into exile. So God did not pluck the 70 from the air. It's actually in Scripture. When you read Jeremiah, you see that, what I'm saying. So, as a Bible teacher, I'm confident in telling you what I'm telling you. And I just want you to understand that they had been in exile for 70 years and they came back. And one of the major reasons why they didn't, because they did not keep that special offering before God. And God brought them back. He had mercy on them. You see, we are quite happy to read Jeremiah 29:11. And I know the plans I have for you, plans for good, not for evil. You see, in the beginning, he was saying that I'll bring you back after 70 years. You see, God had a plan for them to come and build him a temple, because prior to that, for 400 years, they've just messed up. The temple of God is filled with sin and all manner of things that you can think about. They worship God this way. They worship other gods that way. There was nothing. I'm teaching you scripture, my brother, my sister. Are you being taught today?
Yes.
Thank you. These people are being taught. The rest, I don't know. So, whatever it is, what I'm saying is that God is saying that this is what was happening. I'm trying to get you to connect the Bible, because a lot of people don't know the Bible. They don't read it. And when they read it, they just miss these details. I've missed them many, many years, many, many times. But thank God for new revelation. And I'm saying that God said, if I'm your sons, so God has brought them back, and God was expecting them to build a temple and worship him. For 16 years, they hadn't built it. And poor Zerubbabel, he was really fed up. And God said, don't be fed up. I build my church. It wasn't Jesus who first said it, you know. It was said 400 years before Jesus. He said that it is not by might, not by power, but by spirit. Amen?
Amen?
So, Zerubbabel was fed up, and God said, I'll build my church. And then, they managed to build a temple. It took them nearly about 17 or 20 years. And they built it, and they decided they will not bring those first fruit. They will not bring those sacrifices. So God said, if you call me your father, where is my honor? If you call me your, even people who call have masters, managers, directors, they revere them, don't they? Of course, I revere people who are above me and even below me. If I'm your master, where's my reverence? If I'm your father, where is my honor? And that is what we are talking about. First fruit is an honor to do that. The answer is we despise the Lord's name. Did I miss something? Malachi 1:6, that's right. Okay, let me leave the other bit that which is not coming up. I don't know why it's not coming up, but that's okay. So, let's move on. The answer is, we despise the Lord's name by not giving God the first, the best part of our increase. The best part of our income, because at that time it was agrarian society. They only farm, and therefore they get a harvest. You and me, some of us haven't even seen where a farm is or what it looks like. Hello? We haven't. But that is absolutely great. So, here we earn income. So we have to give him the best part of our increase. The way to show honor and reverence is with our first fruit. Solomon got the vision of the first fruit right. About 520 years after Moses spoke to the people of Israel by the first fruit, King Solomon reiterated that by saying in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9 and 10, honor the Lord with your possessions. In some translations, honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruit of all your increase. So your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be overflown with new wine. Honor the Lord with your possessions, with your wealth, and with the first fruit of all your increase, income, your increase of your income. So your barns will be filled with plenty, meaning abundance. And your vats, your presses, like your wine press. What generates your income? The source of, because the wine press is where wine came from, right? So your presses or your vats, that is what it means, will overflow with new wine. God wants an overflow of new wine in your life. God wants an overflow of new wine in your life. God wants an overflow of new wine in your home. Hallelujah. By setting our first fruit apart for God, we are consecrating our income for the rest of the year. I love that. We are consecrating our income for the rest of the year. We are setting it apart and make it holy. We are protecting our jobs. We are protecting our businesses. We are protecting our children because we need our income to feed our children, take them to school, buy them things. We are protecting it. We are consecrating it for the rest of the year. So at the beginning of the year, we want to consecrate something to God. That was what God was teaching them. He said that you cannot boil a young goat in its mother's milk. You see, the young goat depends upon its mother, right, for the milk, and it grows, and it literally reproduces itself. Let me give you a practical example, right? Pastor Irene's mother, right, has a large house, and in the yard, she keeps goats. Naughty goats, though. And she keeps goats. Each time I go there, I see them increasing. And I'm thinking, what's happening? You see, as they feed on the milk and they grow, they reproduce themselves. But supposing when the goat was young and it was very little, you boil it in the mother's milk and there was no more goat or, I mean, little kid left anymore. Where will the next goat come from? Can you see this analogy? Because they did not boil the young goat in its mother's milk, there's always goat. In the yard. Even though they are killing them and eating them, there's always some. And I'm thinking, wow, this is a simple analogy. Do you get it? Next time, please follow Pastor Aaron. Right. So, by setting our first fruit apart for God, we are consecrating our income for the rest of the year. So, how does God seize the first fruit? Let me give you these 4 points very quickly and then we'll wrap up the sermon today. How does God seize our first fruit? One, God sees and receives our first fruit as an act of honor. God taught them to do it as an act of honor. Number two, giving our first fruit tells God he is first in our lives. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all other things will be added unto you. God knew that the people in Jesus' time needed all the things that the world needed. But say, seek me first. Number three, giving the first fruit is an act of faith. I don't want to expand this. We are trusting God deeply here. Number four, our first fruit indicates that God is our source. You do get those 4 points? Okay. The slow ones got it. So God sees and receive our first fruit as an act of honor, number one. Number two, giving our first fruit tells God he is first in our lives. Number three, giving the first fruit is an act of faith. Number four, our first fruit indicates that God is our source. Today, even as I'm ending this message, I will say this. God expects us to prepare and present our first fruit to him in this house. Where you receive your spiritual nourishment, where the presence and the power of God is. And the presence of God is in this church. We just worship God with songs. And I could feel the presence of God. I could see people getting animated. I could see people really getting emotional. I could see people opening their heart. And God's house is here. If you have not given your first fruit, you can do it today. If you already did, which indeed some of you have, because I remember the finance family first asked me, what is first fruit? And I'm thinking, that's a good question. Without preaching, I have to explain in a very simple way. That people who know God, they want to put their lives dedicated to God to say thank you. Because your word says so. And consecrate the others. Right. So, some of you have done that already, but pray with us. This prayer that we are going to pray. And this prayer is not original from me. I adopted it from the 2020 House of Peace Manual, 52 Life Sessions, written by Apostle Gemma Maldonado. And I thank God for this man's life. You see, everyone had to study. And everyone had to give your life to God. I've been a pastor for a long time. I've been a Christian for several decades. God has used me, established, really, planted churches, done many things, preached in many places. Hundreds, if not more, if not thousands, have come to faith through my ministry. But God has moved me in a different direction or a deeper direction. And I didn't know how to handle this. Say, God, I've never walked this way before. I need direction. Just like Joshua in Joshua chapter 5. He was going to Jericho. The land was fortified. There was a lot of resistance. He's never been there before. And then someone appeared before him and gave him, put up his sword. And Joshua said, Lord, what do you want me to do? And Joshua at that time was asking for direction. And the person told him that you just walk around that city with trumpets and with a shout, and the walls will come down. And the walls indeed come down, recorded in history. So for me, I didn't know how to handle this new wave of the Holy Spirit, new wave of revelation, new wave of the supernatural power of God, new wave of understanding scripture. I was getting it, but I didn't know how to handle it. And the best way is to go somewhere where they have practiced that for 25 years, it has worked for them, and be taught in their university. So my wife and I went, and were taught. And for that reason, when you hear me quoting Apostle Gabriel Maldonado, I honor him, and I just want you to know that his university taught me so that I don't come and mess about and mess you about. You understand that? So that I can teach you well, so that we can do things in line with Scripture. Because sometimes Christians can get things so wrong and thinking they are doing so right. So I'm really grateful to God. So today, if you are ready, I would like us to pray this prayer. I said I give credit to him because he wrote it. And it I think it's a good prayer. So if you are ready, I'd like you to bow down your heads and you repeat this prayer after me. Heavenly Father, in this hour, I come before you to honor you with my first fruit. These represent the first fruit of my work for this year. Today, I make a covenant with you, my God and my Father. I present them, trusting that you will redeem and multiply the rest of my income during the year. I sow this offering in the fertile ground as a sign of thanksgiving and declaring that this year there will be no shortage in my house. There will be no destruction in my house. There will be no tears in my house. I will be blessed. Your goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. I thank you, Heavenly Father, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now I want you to pray for yourself after praying this prayer. I want you to pray for yourself and say, God, I want to make a covenant with you and present my first fruit. Maybe you're ready, you're in a position to do that today. Maybe you want to make a covenant with God and say, good, God, I will do it. Maybe tomorrow, maybe next week, maybe at the end of the month, maybe next month. But make a commitment and covenant with God that God should provide and God should make you do what you said you would do, to present your first fruits. talk to God right now. I give you a few seconds. Now I'm going to pray for you, those of you who are making this prayer. Father, I pray in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, I pray that your word will be fulfilled in the lives of every man and every woman who's made this prayer, who's made this commitment, and who has made this covenant with you to present the first fruit. Father God, I pray in the mighty name of Jesus. I pray for multiplication of their income. I pray for expansion of their business. I pray for expansion of their territory. I pray, oh God, for you to provide for them. And Father God, provide, Father God, finances for them where they need finances to do things. Father God, I pray that, Father God, finance this year would not be a hindrance for them to achieving what they want to achieve. Father God, I pray in every situation where they need jobs, Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ, I pray that a door will be open for them, that, Father God, they will get that job. Father God, where they need promotion, I pray that a door will be open for them to be promoted. Father God, nothing will hold their promotion back in the name of Jesus. Father God, I pray that, Father God, you expand their homes, that, Father God, there will be the peace of God that will surpasses every understanding to rest with them in their homes. Father God, I pray, oh God, you are the God, our provider. You are the God, our provider. Jesus Christ, I thank you. I thank you that you did it for Abraham. You provide for him. You provided for him. And we are asking you to provide for him. Father God, you provided for Rahab. And Father God, I'm asking that you provide for these people in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah, Lord. I want us to we'll worship with a song. If you're able to stand, some 108, and then we'll have a communion together. So if you're able to stand, and if you guys are ready in the back, are we ready to worship God? Hallelujah, Lord.